But I want us to begin to understand so much that God has given us a language. God has given us a prayer language. And our prayer language is a precious, and yet it is an important gift. And yet millions will never understand the wonderful and the glorious experience of having this prayer language, praying in our heavenly language, praying in the spirit, praying in tongues. And yet we know that the Holy Spirit is our communicator. The Holy Spirit is our communicator. And yet he provided animals with sounds to communicate between themselves. The wildest animals on earth communicate to each other. And yet our relationship is essential in this world with our Creator, which is God, our Father. And yet the Holy Spirit, he provided every nationality a language of its own. And yet we have Spanish language, we have the French, we have German, we have even the English language. And yet the Holy Spirit also has a language. And it's important we learn to use our language as we are also building a stronger relationship with the Holy Spirit. And yet, the one who gives the language on earth simply has one of his own. And yet, most of us call it the heavenly language. For he that speaketh in unknown tongues speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2. And so these are principles and ways of understanding our heavenly language. And number two is simply, there are many qualities of this unknown tongue that are very rewarding and apply to different situations. You see, when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, he provided a language that was unknown only to those who were speaking it. Others around them understood because the Holy Spirit was providing an opportunity for what? For the gospel. Others around them understood because the Holy Spirit was providing an opportunity again for the gospel to be heard in other dialects. And there will be times that you'll speak in tongues and you'll speak a language that you don't even know that you're speaking. He'll have you speak in Chinese if there is Chinese around. He'll have you speak in different dialects, German, French. But you won't understand why, because he is in control, and yet he is spreading the gospel through your heavenly language. You see, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man would heard them speak in their own language. So everyone was there. The Holy Spirit calls the 120 to begin to speak in tongues, speak in other dialects, so that every nationality would understand what was being said. And God gives us this language to confuse the enemy. Why? Because he does not understand your heavenly language. And yet in your heavenly language, as the Spirit of the Lord, as the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you won't even know what you're praying for. You won't even know what you're praying. And there are times that I don't know what to pray for. I don't know how to pray, what to say. So I begin to use my heavenly language, because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what I'm saying and what is needful. There could be times that you're using your heavenly language and you're praying for someone that you have no idea for, who they are or what they are, but you could be speaking in your heavenly language concerning the individual. And so the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue? So isn't everyone here Galileans? How is it able to speak these different dialects? Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Acts 2, verses 6 through 8. And yet Peter and the others were speaking in tongues, did not understand what they were saying, and this was not the heavenly language, but rather the Holy Spirit was using another language or a dialect to confirm his presence among them. This is why prayer is so key. Because prayer is your greatest weapon on earth. Your mouth is your deliverer. It can also be your tormentor. Your mouth is your deliverer. It can also be the same thing that could put you in prison. And so prayer. And yet few people grasp the powerful, incredible potential of prayer. Praying. And as we begin to pray, there will be times that the Holy Spirit will consume us and overshadow us and overtake us, and all of a sudden we've gone off into another language. Prayer. The Bible declares in the book of Acts, chapter 4, and verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled, what, with the Holy Ghost. You see, prayer ushers in his presence. Prayer ushers in his presence. I'm going to be talking to you about 10 keys of how to fulfill of a prayer life, but I want to begin to set the stage because prayer is so important. And yet you will never enjoy prayer if you do not enjoy his presence. You will never enjoy prayer if you do not enjoy his presence. Because when you are praying to become more, well, let me put it like this here. When who you are praying to, hear me, when who you are praying to becomes more important than what you are praying for, what you are praying for will change from a need to an answer. I want y'all to get that. Because you really don't pray for things. You pray for a better, a stronger relationship with him. Prayer aligns you. Prayer brings you into unity. Prayer sets the stage. It begins to take you from the carnal to the spiritual. So when who you are praying to becomes more important than what you are praying for, I want y'all to be with, work with me now. What you are praying for will change from a need to an answer. He'll speak to you and says, do this and do that. Jesus. Jesus. And so when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The Bible declares in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 25 through 26, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Listen, they prayed and they sang praises unto God. They prayed and they sang praises unto God. Hear me. They prayed and they sang praises. You will think that they will be asking God to get them out of prison, to pull us from out of the hands of the enemy. No. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. They wasn't praying a need. Their prayer was focused on him because it was more important that they begin to worship him. It was more important that they begin to pray unto the Father. And so at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. We must understand the purpose and the power of prayer. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. Wait a minute. not just their door. It didn't say their door was open. It says immediately all the doors. That means that every prisoner door opened up and was set free. So all the doors was open and everyone's bands were loose. So not only did the doors open up, but the shackles that was holding them down was loosed. Their hands were set free. Their feet were set free. When they were shackled down, they were no longer shackled down. You see, prayer and praise will release the shackles and the bonds of the enemy. I don't care whatever you're going through. Just pray and worship. Just get into prayer and praise and worship. Because prayer is visiting with your Father. Oh, did you hear what I just said? Prayer is visiting with your Father. Jesus. Jesus. So we see that our prayer takes us into a place. It also produces a prayer language. Prayer. Prayer. And yet prayer is your key to power. Prayer is your key to power. Because prayer gives you, the believer, authority over the enemy. Prayer. Prayer. And yet prayer pleasures the heart of God. Prayer is as necessary for your spirit as food for your body. And it begins to do something in your inner world, in your innermost being. The peace and the presence of God begins to fill you in your time of prayer. It also changes your external circumstances. Why? Because the hand of God moves people around you and miracles begin to happen. So let your reason for prayer be more important than things, but that your focus is on Him. And yet, hear me. I want you to hear this here. And yet the purpose of prayer is not to secure possessions. I want you all to hear me. We've been going about it the wrong way. The purpose of prayer is not to secure possessions. It is to receive impartation. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14 says, if my people which are called by name shall humble themselves and pray. So the purpose of prayer is not to secure possessions. It is to receive impartation. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And yet Jesus, as our example, often communicated with God through prayer. He knew it was the only way to truly win over sickness or the power of demonic spirits. It built his relationship with the Father. Matthew chapter 26, verses 39 through 34. And it reads, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. You see, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and said unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray. Watch and pray. What are you watching? I'm watching for what he's going to do. I'm watching in the realm of the spirit. I'm watching, and my eyes are set on him. I'm watching, and I am still. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. His first prayer, I don't have the strength to go down this path. I don't have the strength to take on this because I'm bearing the sins of the world. I don't have the strength in my body. I don't have the strength in my physical. Can we do this another way? Do I really have to go down this road, Father God? But it's not as I will, but as you will. Because in my time of prayer, you're strengthening me. In my time of prayer, I'm aligning to your will. I'm aligning to your purpose. I'm in need of strength. And yet he was in need of the disciples and Peter, the other ones, to just pray with me. Because one can chase 1,000, but two can chase 10,000. And so he needed to pray. And yet there was no outside assistance. He needed to pray. And there will be times that you're going to need question and answer, and you're going to need God to deliver you, and there will be no outside assistance. And you're going to need God for yourself. And so he went away again the second time and praying says, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Make sure you have a prayer partner that is strong and not weak. Make sure you have a prayer partner that is prayed up and not weak. For their eyes were heavy, and he left them, now this is the third time, and he left them and went again, and he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words, prayer, prayer. Because I want you to hear this principle. The presence of God is the only place where your weakness will die. It is in the presence of God where your weakness will die. It is only in his presence that your weakness will die. The Bible declares in St. John chapter 16, verses 26 through 27. St. John chapter 26, St. John chapter 16, verses 26 through 27. And that day ye shall ask in my name, and say not unto you, that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. Oh, Jesus. On that day you shall ask what, not in your name, but in my name. And I say unto you, I'm going to pray the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loveth you. Why? Because he loveth me. And I believe that I have come from out of God. Prayer. Prayer is your key to power. Prayer is your key to power. It gives the believer authority over the enemy. Prayer. We're talking about prayer. We're talking about prayer. Because prayer pleasures the heart of God. Exodus 25 and 22. And there will I meet with thee, and I will commune with thee, from above the mercy seat, from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, all things which I give thee and commandment unto the children of Israel. The Bible also declares in St. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see, when you pray, your spirit is fed the essential bread of life. So prayer is as necessary for your spirit as food is for your body. Prayer. Prayer. Because prayer opens the door for God to show us great and mighty things. Prayer. Another point. Prayer puts fear in the heart of your enemy. Prayer puts fear in the heart of Satan, your adversary. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. God expects it. Angels respect it. The Bible declares in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him." I mean, casting all your care upon him. Whatever it is, keep it all to him. It's not yours. Give it. Casting all of your care upon him. That's why when people tell you to take care, you want to change that. Because when a person tells you to take care, they're telling you to take worry. To take care means to take worry. So when they say take care, no, I'm not going to take care because care is to worry. So I'm not going to take worry. God bless you. Have a blessed day. You be blessed. You be prosperous. You stay prayed up. But you don't want to take care because they're telling you to take worry. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, steadfast, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. 1 Peter 5, 6 to 11. So God expects it. Angels respect it. God expects it. Angels respect it. The Bible declares in Revelation chapter 8, Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers," oh hallelujah, "that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints, upon the golden altar which was before the throne." So our prayers and an angel. Oh, hallelujah. So our prayers are going up as incense. And so it reads again, "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands." Jesus. "There is a fragrance that accompanies your prayer." There is a fragrance. There is an aroma that accompanies your prayer as it is going up and as it is ascending before God. A hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prayer is the most powerful way to change the destiny of your life. Yendisha Rapa Sando Yesha Halabando Yeshikida Barabako Shanda Yenana Masandi de Lebeko Shanda Yeka Boko Shanda. If we would understand the power of our prayer and stop seeking possessions, and if we would just learn to get into his presence, because prayer is not about possessions, it is about impartation. I want the presence of the Lord. I want impartation. I want the power of the Holy Ghost. I want God to flow through me, to move through me. Prayer, 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 prayer. Oh, hallelujah. God expects it. But angels respect it. Oh, hallelujah. Prayer is the only pathway to true peace. Prayer the only pathway to true peace. We're going to be going into prayer heavy for the next few weeks. We've dealt with you in formulas to hear God's voice. You received 6 steps on how to hear God's voice. We spoke to you on how to know God's voice from Satan's voice. Now we're going to talk to you about prayer. Because God is equipping us in this season so that we can be mighty soldiers in the kingdom of God. I so desire to be an effective soldier in the kingdom of God. You see, it is our job to be a soldier, but also to recruit others into the army of the Lord. Did you hear me? We are to recruit others into the army of God. Prayer empowers you. Because wherever you go, you'll start bringing witness to his name. Are you witnessing his name today? Are you telling others? Are you a soldier? Or have you lost your savor? Because you are called to be the salt of the earth. And the purpose of salt is to produce a thirst. Salt also preserves, but salt also produces a thirst in us. It preserves, but it also produces a thirst. It dries us out. It preserves. And so what begins to happen, we're supposed to be the salt of the earth, meaning that others will begin, it will produce a thirst in others. Wow. Your life. How are you, how is it that all of these good things are happening around you? How is it that you're not disturbed by things? How is it that you have such peace? How is it that you have such calmness in you? What is it? There's something different about you. And this is what the world is supposed to say about the believers. There is something different about you. The problem is that we have lost our prayer life. We've lost our prayer language. We don't fast. We don't pray. No prayer, no power. More prayer, more power. It's just that simple. And we have become almost like to the point where we have become downtrodden. We have no joy. We have no peace. We have no excitement. All we see is struggle after struggle after struggle, because even in your struggle, you should be worshiping God. And so we fall into the trap. We fall into the trap where we become the very thing that we're going through. We become the very thing that we are struggling with. We become the very thing that we're having a struggle and a hard time with in our life. And we should never, ever let external circumstances, external events decide for us. Why would you let something on the outside control the inner man? Why would you let something on the outside? See, and what begins to happen, and so what now begins to happen, that's why he says, thou shalt not worship any graven images. You have allowed the outside to become your God. Didn't I tell you that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? Did I not tell you that the Spirit of God, that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Did I not tell you this here? So why would you allow something on the outside to become your master. Why would you allow something on the outside to control the inward man? I don't have any money. Why would you allow the thing on the outside to decide your faith, what you're going to do, how you're going to give, and how you're going to respond? You have allowed an outside image to become an idol and become your God. And we do it all the time. We allow our mates to become our graven image. We allow our children. We allow our jobs. We allow other people to become graven images. And we worship the outside thing more than we worship him. Because did you not know that worry is another form of prayer? We worry about this, we worry about that. And so worry is just the opposite of prayer. Worry is another form of tongue speaking. Worry is like the Indians in the old days beating a drum. When there was warning rain, 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 rain. And so what happens, we worry, 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 worry. And see, so it's another form of prayer. And so, prayer is the only pathway to true peace. The Bible declares in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. It says, be careful for nothing. They got that word careful again. And you're telling people to tell you to take care. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayerful and supplication with thanksgiving. And everything by prayerful and everything by prayer and supplication. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, meaning be prayerful, be prayed up, in everything, by prayer and supplication, by prayer and supplication. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Now, wait a minute. So it's saying here now, supplication, but also thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. He said, Father, I need you to do this for me. Father God, I need a healing. Father God, I need you to work a miracle in my job. Father God, I need you to work in my children. No. It says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. So I'm seeing this here from a different perspective now, saints, because we're still talking about prayer here. As I'm seeing this here, so I'm not saying, Father, I need you to do such and such. Father God, I thank you, because I said thanksgiving. Father God, I thank you. Father God, I thank you. Father God, I thank you for my healing. Father God, I thank you. Father God, I thank you for restoring my finances. Well, let's change that again. Because to say, Father, I thank you for restoring my finances, I'm saying that it's not restored. Call those things to be not as though they were. So, Father God, thank you for restoring my finances. Father God, I thank you for restoring my relationships, my marriage. I thank you for restoring. I thank you for the promotion. I thank you for the healing. I thank you for the increase. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4 and 6. And so prayer is the pathway to strength. And this is why having a prayer language is so key. Having a prayer language is so key. Having a prayer language is so key. And learning to use our heavenly language. We're going to be closing very shortly. But I want to share just a few principles with you about tongues and your prayer language. Because they both line up. Because they both line up. They both line up. And I want to just pray quickly right now. Precious Holy Spirit, you gave languages to the whole earth to communicate, to connect and to strengthen relationships. For animals have sounds and humans have words. Holy Spirit, oh precious Holy Spirit, you have a special prayer language for me to use in my personal prayer life. Teach me step by step, Holy Ghost. Teach me step by step, Holy Ghost, on how to enter into the supernatural prayer life. You are my intercessor on earth. I celebrate, Holy Ghost. I celebrate, Holy Spirit. I celebrate and I value each moment in your presence today. I'm willing and I'm open to change. Show me my imperfections. Reveal to me my weaknesses. But I know that in your presence, my imperfections and my weaknesses are removed. I know, Holy Spirit, that you don't see that you see the greatness in me. Holy Spirit, I am willing to change today. I make this declaration. I am open unto thee. I'm willing to make new discoveries. Please help me to overcome my errors. In the things and the teachings that I received from my childhood and any prejudices that have come to me through any false teachings. I will pursue you. I will pursue you because you are the truth. You are the Spirit of truth. You are my counselor. You are my intercessor, Holy Ghost. You are my advisor. I welcome you as my mentor, the one who strengthens me, the one who is called to stand by me. I welcome you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. Thank you. I wanted to share with you a few principles on the purpose of having a prayer language. And we're talking about prayer, and I believe that they just go side and hand in hand, side by side. And so, number one I want to share with you is that when you pray in tongues, you are building up yourself, your personal faith, and confidence in God. Number one, when you pray in tongues, you're building up yourself, your personal faith, and your confidence in God. Because something supernatural begins to happen. It is indescribable, unexplainable, and undeniable. For the Bible declares in Jude, and there's only one chapter in the book of Jude. It's right before the book of Revelation. Jude 20 and 21 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And so this is essential for overcomers. You see, your victories depend upon your faith, and faith is confidence in God. It is the only way to bring pleasure to God. Oh, hallelujah. It is essential for overcomers. Your victories depend upon your faith. And faith is confidence in God. Faith is trust in God. Faith is my love for God. The Bible declares in Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe what? That he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. He will reward you. God rewards those that stay in his presence. God rewards those that get into prayer, those that use their heavenly language. He is a rewarder to them that diligently, not sometime, that are diligent, that are consistent, that are persistent, and not just a sometime when I need something, but an all-the-time person, that I pray more when I'm not under attack. Some just pray when they're under attack, when they're going through stuff. No. I pray every minute, every hour, every second of the day, that I am forever seeking your presence. Because at that moment, the Holy Ghost will tell you what to say. You see, listen, this message was not, I was up. I was up late at night. We did the morning prayer. I've been up. And I dozed off for just a few moments, for maybe an hour, and God began to speak to me in my time of prayer, because my sleep becomes my prayer. My sleep becomes a prayer, because that's why I don't fall asleep. I go into prayer. I go into prayer. Hear me, I go into prayer. So when I'm closing my eyes, I'm praying. So my sleep becomes prayer. My sleep becomes prayer. And God begins to speak and gives this message. This was not designed. This is the Holy Ghost flowing right now. This is the Holy Ghost moving at this moment. This is revelation from the Holy Ghost. So when you pray in tongues, you're building up yourself, your personal faith, and your confidence in God. Number two, of praying in tongues and using a heavenly language, recognize that many times you do not really know what to pray about. So it is important to permit the Holy Spirit to pray through you. Number two again, recognize that many times you do not know really what to pray about. So it is important to permit the Holy Spirit to pray through you. That's why you don't pray to him, you pray through him. You don't pray to him, you pray through him. You don't pray to him, you pray through him. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, pray through me as I ought to pray. And all of a sudden, heavenly language starts flowing through you. You start speaking in tongues. The presence of the Lord begin to overshadow you and overtake you, like on the day of Pentecost, as it fell upon their heads as tongues of fire. And they began to speak in other languages. Recognize that many times you do not really know what to pray about. So it is important to permit the Holy Spirit to pray through you. Number three of keys that you should know about tongues and your prayer language. Trust the Holy Spirit that he would not fail you or lead you into error. Trust the Holy Spirit, that he would not fail you or lead you to error. Remember, he is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of truth, according to St. John chapter 16 and verse 13. And when you start trusting the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, you will begin to see some amazing things, how he'll begin to speak to you. How he will show you how to plan your day. How he will guide you. How he will bring understanding. How he is such a remarkable mentor in your life. You see, if we would ask the Holy Spirit and be willing to trust Him, He will provide so much more to you. Trust the Holy Spirit. I want to say to you, trust the Holy Spirit. Trust the Holy Spirit. For He will guide you. He will lead you. Number three. Recognize that the Holy Spirit as your earthly intercessor and Jesus as your heavenly intercessor. Recognize the Holy Spirit as your earthly intercessor and Jesus as your heavenly intercessor. I'm getting some outside noise.
Yes, Your Grace. I want to ask you, is that number four?
Okay, go ahead. That's number four. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much, woman of God. I'm in the Spirit. I'm in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. So, number five, ask for the prayer language. Ask for the prayer language. James 4 and 2 says, ye have not because ye ask not. See, anything you ask in His name, you will receive it according to His will. So perhaps you don't have a heavenly language. Just ask the Holy Spirit and just start praying. Just start praying. Just start praying. Keep your mind stayed on Him. Keep your mind stayed on Him. And just begin to set in your mind as your eyes are closed. And sometimes you simply start just saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Just calling on the name of Jesus, 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 Jesus. With your hands lifted up. And then sometimes you need some, and then you'll just begin to set an image in your mind. Because He says, I'm at the door. I'm knocking at the door. If thou would open the door. I'm knocking at the door of your heart. Allow me to come in. And just begin to envision Jesus Christ knocking at the door of your heart. He's at the door of your heart saying, let me in, let me in, let me in. And just keep saying Jesus. Just keep saying Jesus. Just keep saying Jesus. The name that is above all other names. Just keep saying Jesus, 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 Jesus. And all of a sudden, as your focus begins to center on Jesus, something begins to happen, and the Holy Ghost begins to overshadow you. The Holy Ghost begins to overcome you. The Holy Ghost begins to take over, and all of a sudden you start speaking in a heavenly language. You start speaking in an unknown language. And don't deny it. Just say whatever comes to your mind. Just say whatever comes to your mind and allow the Holy Spirit to take over. Because all of a sudden you move out of the way and the Holy Spirit steps in. So ask for the language. Ask for your heavenly language. And then number six, ask the Holy Spirit to draw you toward Him. My father told me when I was younger, he told me that this is the greatest and the most important prayer that someone could ever pray in his whole life. And that was to ask the Holy Spirit to draw us closer to Him. He says, because when you get in His presence, you will change. You will behold and see truth that you have never seen in your lifetime. Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for my prayer language. Thank you for the gift of tongues. Hanaman nidebek robo sanda. Nomoso kubasa raban san dinema kurobo sana.